Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today in today's conference call about our half-year results 2016. Geert Winter will right afterwards give you a quick overview of the results, and then we will immediately go into Q&A mode. With me is also German Eckloff, CFO, and Martin Wenk, Chief Investment Officer. Please, Geert.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everybody. Allow me to run you quickly through the main highlights of this half-year results. One, we are very satisfied with our results as it represents once again a proof of our financial stability and high underlying earnings quality. In addition, we have strengthened our company for the future. Baloise belongs to one of the most profitable insurance companies in Europe, and with the half-year 16 results, we set the foot in the right direction to be successful in the company's next strategic phase, which we will present at the upcoming Strategy Day, end of October. The first 6 months of 2016 were characterized by the following elements. One, in non-life, Baloise achieved an outstanding net combined ratio of 92.5%, which lies below our target range of 93 to 96%. This ratio was, however, affected by reserve strengthening of 55 million Swiss francs in the German non-life business. This way, we make sure that future profits in Germany will no longer be impaired by legacy issues. Excluding the reserves addition in Germany, the group's net combined ratio would have been a remarkable 88.7%, which underlines our outstanding profitability. Two, the life business contributed to the group's EBIT with an operating result of 46 million Swiss francs. The reduction to the previous half year is explained by the substantial addition of over 250 million Swiss francs to strengthen the technical reserves in view of the interest rate situation. As a result, we made the balance sheet stronger and we further reduced the average return required to meet guaranteed obligations. Moreover, our business mix in life further shifted towards innovative, capital-efficient insurance solutions. This led to a planned contraction of the traditional life business, whereas the investment type premiums reported a robust growth of 18.5%. Three, overall, Baloise generated a profit for its shareholders of 223.6 million Swiss francs, but adjusted for the reserve strengthening in non-life in Germany, the underlying net income would have been over 260 million Swiss francs, and hence an increase of almost 5% compared to half year 2015. We have achieved a very strong half year result, and we have strengthened Baloise for the future. We will host our strategy day on October the 26th, where we will draw your attention to how we plan to steer our company in the upcoming future. Let's open up for questions.
The first question is from Mr. Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And really great underlying results. Well done. I was amazed by your combined ratio. So on the combined ratio, the 88.7, how sustainable is this figure? How should I think about this? And then on the life, you show the life EBIT excluding the extra effort, for interest rates, a figure of, I think, 250 or something million. Is this a figure I can plug into my model as a kind of run rate going forward, or is it a kind of very theoretical number, assuming interest rates are not at all low, that they're at 2% or 3% or something? I mean, how can I think? If you could help on those two, that would be lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me try to answer that in a general way, and then German Eckloff will dig down a bit deeper. First of all, the combined ratio, underlying combined ratio of 88.7 is, of course, a very remarkable result. It's hard work, always. The three countries, Switzerland, Belgium and Luxembourg, have delivered again strong results there. But we should also say that we have benefited from a good climate in terms of claims. So that's certainly an element that has played too. However, we do think that it is sustainable in the long term. Second one, the life question. I think the guidance of our life EBIT is still around or above the 200 million Swiss francs. But let me allow German to highlight both combined non-life and the life business.
Yes. About the non-life first, I mean, we had in terms of NatCat losses, we had quite a good half year, even though there was a lot of pictures of floods and so on in TV. We weren't particularly hurt by that, maybe except for Germany, which was just at the end of the first semester. But apart from that, we were quite lucky in most of the countries. So therefore, sustainable, as Gerard said, in the underlying, but you always need a bit of luck, and there could be something in the second half. So I would say the area is right. The area is sustainable, but whether it's 88.7 or 89 or 90, I will give a guarantee on that. Now, for the life business, the 250, that will be a nice figure, but I'm afraid that is not for the model, because if you think about it, of course, we did quite a bit of capital gains, and these capital gains were produced by falling interest rates. So therefore, if the interest rates were really flat, the 250 would be less than 250. And therefore, there as well, I would go with Gerard Sebel, the guidance of around 200 million or maybe more on a flat environment, I would say that's feasible. If it's a bit more, that would be okay, but 250 for the half year is certainly too much.
And the guidance, the 200, that's the full year, or is it a half-year guidance?
It was for the full year.
Full year. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
The next question is from Mr. In-Yang Wang from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I've got two. Firstly, on the continuing the combined ratio, it looks like you had quite a lot of prior development, if I assume that the German reserve addition is part of the 2.6 PYLD. That's shown in slide 8. So is there any comment you can make about where those come from and how sustainable they are, and whether you kind of see reserve redundancies continuing in your claims reserve going forward? And secondly, on kind of dividends and SST, I think at the full year conference call, you kind of stated as part of a reason for keeping the dividend flat, the continuing uncertainty on the SST, and that seems to still be very, very much uncertain. So should we expect that dividends to stay flat if the uncertainty on the SST doesn't go away? Thank you.
I'll take those two questions. On the prior year loss development, indeed, the development was very positive, especially so in Switzerland, but in all other countries basically as well. And Germany is obviously the re-reserving in there. As a guidance, whether that's going on, we always said historically, I mean, technically, it would be nil. But historically, it's always between 1 and 3%, more or less. And that, I would say, that's probably the case if it's going further. Of course, if interest rates are further decreasing, as we did in Germany now, you should never forget that you have re-reserving on annuities in the non-life portfolio as well. But obviously, as you see with the figures now, we are able to digest that in a comfortable way. not about the prior year loss development. Now, about the dividend. The main driver for the dividend is not the SST, but the operational cash flows. And what we said there is that the dividend will stay flat if there are not new sources or significant developments in the operational cash flows, which will allow to increase the dividend, because you remember the dividend, our policy is actually to keep the dividend, if increase the dividend, the probability should be by far less than 50% that we have to decrease it again in the following 3 years. So that means you need an operational basis, and SST would not be a suitable measure there, because SST is by far too volatile to fix your dividend policy by that. But apart from that, SST is in the green, so there is nothing spectacular about the SST at the moment.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Johnny Yorwin from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. Just two from me. So firstly, just thinking about the German business, obviously it's another sort of disappointing result. I mean, the 116% combined ratio. But, I mean, even adjusting for the reserve additions, 101 clearly isn't where you'd like it to be. But then you look at sort of what you're doing with the book, and, you know, I can see some a small amount of underlying growth at a constant currency level, just 50 basis points or so. So I'd be interested to hear your comments about what you're doing to try and improve the quality of that book, and, you know, how quickly are you rotating out of those industrial lines into the sort of pockets of resilience that you find attractive. And the second question is, you've been very clear on the dividend there and saying that you need something to change on the operational cash flow. I mean, is the message today that you've taken these prior year additions in Germany in the hope that you can, you know, really improve profitability and get some cash upstream to Holdco from Germany? And if that's the case, when are you expecting to get any cash out of Germany? Thank you.
Let me try to come back to those two questions. Germany and the actions that we're taking there. Yes, one, there is this reserve strengthening of 55 million Swiss francs. There are two components linked to that. One is linked to what I would call non-life liability legacy from the past, where we have strengthened the reserves across different lines of business. The second one is linked to actually the accident and the health business in non-life, where the liability life, where we actually, given the low interest environment, we are actually re-reserving. So actually what we're doing there is probably taking or anticipating on what others are doing in the market. So that's one, that's the 55 million Swiss francs. Beside that, in Germany, we have taken the necessary measures in the past and are actually strengthening them again going forward. The second one is, of course, the re-underwriting of the non-life industry book, where we are severely looking into each contract and walking away from small participations in larger industry. We estimate, it's difficult to name a number, but we estimate that over the next 18 to 24 months, we will re-underwrite again in between 30 and 40 million euro. If you look at the 101, so the adjusted combined ratio half year, 101 point something, if you look at last year half year, it was 106. So you already see, although not satisfactory, of course, but you already see a substantial improvement in the underlying non-life business in Germany, which we expect to go forward. Coming to the dividend, and of course, Herman might add a couple of points on the non-life business. Yes, indeed. I mean, the potential of cash flow generation, which is necessary for our dividend, is certainly there in Germany. I mean, it's one of the levers that we will use to plan our dividend policy going forward. Of course, you also know that it takes time to re-underwrite a non-life book of business which is not necessarily in balance, so it will take some time. We have also said that last year at the closing of the 2015 results that we will continue to work hard on it. And maybe a last point is the growth in the new business in Germany, which is important. If you look at the target segments in both life and non-life that we're targeting, we're growing substantially in the first half year. In the non-life target segments with over 10%, in the life segments with over 40%. So I think, one, taking care of the legacy with the reserve strengthening, secondly, re-underwriting the industry book of business, and thirdly, investing in the sales force of brokers and agents to increase the growth where we want it, are the measures that will allow us to generate cash flow of Germany.
And do you have any idea of, you know, a hope when you might be able to get some cash out?
We plan to do it as soon as we can, but no promise from that side.
All right, worth a try. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Daniel Bischoff from Baader Helvea. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Three questions from my side. The first one for Martin Wenk on the investment side. You talked about the challenges in terms of reinvestment in the prepared remarks, and we also heard some of your peers talking about the need to re-risk the investment side. Do you also look into this, and what sort of sustainable reinvestment yield can you achieve in the current environment? And the second one, just to follow up on the previous question, sorry, I may have overheard that, but what are your ambitions for Germany in 2017 in terms of combined ratio or EBIT? And then the last one on the new business side in life, the volumes in Switzerland dropped by more than 40%, I assume, given the focus on a different business mix, more innovative and capital-efficient solutions. Nevertheless, the new business margin dropped into the negative territory in the first half. So should it have been even stricter here, or how do you see this development?
Okay. Thank you. I will answer the first question. Yes, indeed, it is a challenge to find investments that actually keep up the investment yield. So what we are doing is focusing firstly on the direct yield we have on the cash flows on bonds and real estate and so on. And you've seen that actually despite the decline in interest rates, we were able to keep that up. And it was possible basically because we still have some room on moving up the yield curve, selling the short ones, buying long ones, and entering in different currencies where after the currency hedge, you still have a positive yield. So those are the possibilities. What we try to do is to do that with the same amount of capital used. So we are not re-risking at the moment. We are just doing it by exploring all the possibilities regarding other asset classes or other currencies. An actual forecast of the yield of the future, I can't give. I mean, I can tell you what the reinvestment yield was in the first half of this year, and that was 1.8% as an average.
Okay.
Let me try to pick up questions 2 and 3, and maybe Herman can add to that. Ambition Germany 2017, the ambition is clear that the combined ratio in Germany would be below 100%. That's going forward, that's from 2017, that should be the case. And as such, as stated before, Germany should then generate upstream cash flow. And what is relevant, I think, in this call is also to say that over the last couple of years, there was no cash flow, cash upstreaming from Germany to the holding. So the upside that we have on the combined ratio, bringing it down below 100, is the potential for upstream of cash into the holding. The question on life in Switzerland, the 40% drop, is actually linked to the fact that we have not issued what we call a tranche product in the first half year, and we will do so in the second half year, so that would compensate for the volume. But it is indeed true that we are, that if you look at the net, the new business margin is slightly lower than half year 2015, and we have actually limited that reduction thanks to the change in business mix, where we're going for capital efficient and capital efficient life products. the business mix in life is shifting as we speak, and we should also not forget that we have this reserve strengthening of 250 million Swiss francs in the collective life business. We are growing in group life in Switzerland in the annual premiums, but we are indeed holding back and selectively underwriting the one-off premiums in collective life. Kerman, I don't know whether...
Just about the new business margin. I mean, this is a difficult figure in half year anyway, because you have seasonal effects in there, and about the reserve strengthening that was mentioned by Gert, just to be clear now, this is a net figure. On a gross basis, that's by far more than 300 million. Of course, the policyholder is paying quite a big amount of that as well. But it makes the portfolio by far more robust. But the negative new business margin is mainly, the reason for that is mainly the smaller volume in individual life, and that has to do with this tranche product that we didn't do it in the first half. So it could well be that this is positive again for the within the whole year, but that's not a promise. That's just a guess.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Wilhelm Horvath from Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking our questions. The first one is on the balance sheet and duration. Can you give us a number for the duration mismatch, please, the update on this one? The second one is in terms of Switzerland Life, and you speak about Perspectiva. Can you give us some growth numbers and how is the development compared to your first expectations? And then coming back on SST, maybe can you update us on the discussions with the FINMA on the standard model for Swiss Group Life? How is it going, and what do you expect from that? Thanks.
Okay, I will take over and try to give you an answer on the first one and maybe start on the second one and then pass it over to my colleagues. Regarding the duration mismatch, I can tell you that we have further prolonged the duration of our bond holdings, and so that the duration mismatch actually decreased by about a quarter of a year and stands between 1 and 1.5 years right now. On Perspectiva, I can tell you that I'm looking at that, of course, from the perspective of the asset manager. And since you are managing the assets of Perspectiva, I know that we had quite a large inflow. We have been very happy with what was the result by the 1st of January, because those contracts are made usually by the beginning of the year. And we are very happy with the shift we have to that new offering in Perspectiva. Exact figures I couldn't give you in million terms, but compared to the prior year, in percentage-wise, it's up 160%. So it's quite a successful story.
Maybe just to add to that, Martin, in Perspectiva, we now have almost 450 PMEs are actually a part of the Perspectiva solution. And I think if you look at the new business that we're writing in risk and risk premium, about 20% of that new business is now going to Perspectiva in our group life business in Switzerland.
Yeah, I mean, just on Perspectiva to finalize that, of course, what's done currently will be only in next year's figures, because currently they are producing for the next year, and that's to a certain extent hurting the new business margin as well, because we have the cost now, but no fee stream to compensate for the costs, because that will then come next year. Now, for the SST standard model in the second pillar business, that's a group from the Insurance Association and the FINMA, which is working on this model, and they are actually elaborating on different approaches currently. What I hear currently is that the progress is quite quite positive, and so we are quite optimistic that there will be a decent result within, let's say, I don't know, 1.5 years or something. That will certainly take a certain time, because when you have the model, you first have to test it, and I don't know when it will be operational, but currently the work is ongoing.
Okay, that's good. Thanks very much.
Yes.
The next question comes from Mr. Ralph Hepken from KBW. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. Just one point which is left to explore for me, at least, which is going back to the combined ratio, which was, of course, excellent. Can you just confirm that I'm not doing my arithmetic wrong here? If I exclude 3.8 percentage points worth of reserve increase in Germany from the results, then I believe your reserve releases for the group, i.e. prior years, before that reserve release, would have run in the region of 6.5 percentage points for first half 16. Now, that order of magnitude is remarkable, and I have not actually seen that before since you started reporting on this level of granularity. So if the number is correct, I would be interested to hear perhaps some commentary on what drove that. And second, this is related, of course, how you said before, German, that the level of, say, 89 or 90% or so of the combined ratio looks sustainable. But if this level is indeed supported by a historically unprecedented level of reserve releases, then it's sort of the same question. Why would you therefore implicitly say that this new level of reserve releases is something which you believe might be sustainable medium term? Thank you very much.
It's a hard one. Firstly, your calculation is correct. But of course, we are talking about the half-year result. And mm-hmm. and the half-year result, you always have a lot of sort of movements between prior year and current year things. And we will, of course, not have that magnitude of releases by the end of the year. So don't be too strong on that. I mean, if you release case reserves on an individual basis, it's a bit of random as well, whether it's done in the first half or in the second half, because it's just whether the case has cleared or whether somebody has looked at it or not. So that's to a certain extent accidental during the year, but on the other hand, of course, we are managing the loss ratio overall. So therefore, the picture overall looks sensible in half year, but the composition of this figure might change by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, the experience there is somewhere in between 1 and 3 percentage points, and I would say Or 2 and 3 even, and sometimes it was only 1, sometimes it was 4, and I would say that's the range which is sort of sustainable.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Stefan Schürmann from Bank van Tobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have two questions. The first one on the life side, can you maybe give some more details, or I missed that, maybe in terms of reserve additions, maybe splitting that to Switzerland, individual and group life, and also maybe German ZZR on the situation here and the overall impact on the average guarantee to policyholders. And the second question also related to life, maybe a qualitative statement in terms of profit by source, where the cost, risk, and savings results in the first half year move to.
Well, maybe I can pick it up from a general point of view. I think in terms of reserve strengthening in life, it was mainly, of course, a group life in Switzerland. That's clear. There has not been a Zusatz reserve in Germany, and not a flashing light reserving in Belgium as it has been the previous year. So the 250 million Swiss francs is largely the group life business in Switzerland.
Okay. And the impact on average guarantees to policyholders, can you maybe provide that?
It's around 1.5%, I would say. The average guarantee to policyholders.
Yeah.
It's about 1.5% in Switzerland.
In Switzerland, yeah.
In Bau,
okay,
yeah. And profit by source, we'll see whether we could go in the future a step further there. What I can tell you just by that's a sort of guesstimate. The margin on the savings result, so these 70-80 basis points, that should be around stable, I guess. Risk result should be stable or better because the business mix has improved, and there as well, Perspectiva of course improves the risk result, but that always takes a year until you have the production of the whole year. On the cost side, I would say that's more or less stable.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Peter Elliott from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I have to admit, the first one was identical to Ralph's question, really, but I'm still struggling a little bit with the second half of his question, because if you assume that 6.5% of PYD is not sustainable in the second half of the year, then I'm still struggling to understand how you can get to a sort of 88.7 or close to that as the sort of full year combined ratio. I mean, you said that the composition would change, so if you're not expecting a repeat of that PYD from H1 in H2, then I'm just wondering if you can explain where the benefit is going to come from, how that composition is going to change, or you know where the benefit might come from in H2. That was the first question. And the second question was just on the German reserves. You've talked about the low interest rates and the ongoing work and work you've had to do on the portfolio there. But can you say, was there any new information that came to light during this half year that caused any of the reserve increases? And perhaps you could say what that was, if there was any new information that came to light. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take that. For the first one, the main profit on previous year's reserves came from Switzerland, and the bulk there is of course personal injuries in motor liability, and there it's to a certain extent. What I said is it might be a bit accidental whether you can close cases or whether you make a review of the portfolio. And I see that's just not evenly distributed over the year. And I guess we had more in the first half, and that will to a certain extent flatten out. We are not steering the business by half-year junks, that's sort of the point, because the targeting is for the full year, and they are just looking how they have the resources to look at the cases or not. So that's just a guess, but I would expect in the second half that will be normalized again, and we'll land on 2, 3, 4%. Prior year profits. Now, for the German reserves, what's new? I think the most important thing that is new is really the interest rate curve in Germany. I mean, that dropped down like a stone. And then we came to the conclusion that we said, well, this will we will be confronted with a situation where we have to re-reserve annuities because we have these annuities in the portfolio. So that was one point. And the second point was, of course, that we are on the way of doing the re-underwriting. We closely looked at the portfolio again and said, well, now is there a possibility to sort of clear the past? And of course, as you might know, we have an auditor change with a half year now as well. And this is not a real reason, but it makes it easier, let's put it that way, because you have a fresh eye that looks at the reserves. And if you say then, well, what we see is that we are maybe the reserving is a bit more on the aggressive way, and we would like to go more on the conservative way compared to other business units as well. But the main driver, I would say, is the interest rate situation in Germany, because in Germany, meanwhile, we have on 10 years negative interest rates as well, and that was only in Switzerland before.
Okay, thank you. Can I just follow up quickly on the first point? Because I understand the PYD movements and the volatility there and timing, etc. But as you said, if we're going from 6.5 percentage points in the first half of the year, and you expect to close the year at 2, 3, 4, say 3 on average, then the difference has got to be made back by something else if you're still expecting a similar underlying combined ratio for the full year. I'm just struggling to see what's going to compensate for PYDs not being as good across the full year. But if we could take it offline.
I mean, in fact, it was 2.6%, not 6.5%. So it's sort of dangerous if you're just copying figures apart I would say at the end of the year you could expect a combined ratio which is in the low 90s, so below our target range. That should actually be the conclusion.
Okay. No, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Michael Huttner. Please go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I have two questions. One is from the S&P report from the 11th of August, which you very helpfully put on your website. In there, at the beginning, it says the extremely strong capitalization, and they expect it to return to a strong level, which means lower, in 2016-18 due to capital management. Since you've been discussing clearly the stuff with S&P, I don't think they work in a vacuum. Can you maybe share some of the thoughts you have about capital and capital management, or as much as you can? I mean, I know you've got the investor day, so maybe, I don't know, you don't want to say too much, but a little bit would help a lot. And then the really kind of the really stupid question, and I apologize for that, but I did ask Swiss Life, and the answer was okay. It's a tricky one. If you're an investor who, you're a Russian investor, they were interest rates in Russia are high, or Turkey, whatever country where interest rates are really high, and somebody says, oh yeah, and Balwise is a great company, and look, they're making lots of money, and you say, what's their business, and they're about half life, half non-life, and you say, but how do you make money in life when interest rates are negative? I know you show the numbers, and clearly the numbers are there, but conceptually, how would you explain that? I suppose the real question is, do you see at any stage in the next 5 or 10 years a discontinuity where there will be a gap in earnings because of the negative interest rates? There we are. That's it. Thank you.
Maybe I'll start with the second one. Well, of course, savings products are sort of difficult if you come along with negative interest rates. Expect except you guarantee less than 100%. Then it works again. So it's always a matter of calibration. Now, of course, that's not terribly attractive. Nevertheless, we are able to sell tranches meanwhile with a guarantee of 92 or something for 10 years. And an upside, of course, if it is a unit-linked product or it is a unit-linked component. And I think this is really the key, that you say, well, the earning stream in the future, it's difficult to have an interest rate difference or a yield difference business with a negative interest rate. That's true, of course, but you still have the risk business, which is actually the real insurance business, and you have the unit link product where you're making your income from investment fees. Maybe Martin Wenk can add to that.
Maybe what I would add, and I'm completely in line with German, but I would add that for the customer or the investor, it's a matter of alternatives. I mean, we have negative interest rates, but our reinvestment yield is still positive, as that I have shown before, and the alternatives for an investor are not that great either if you stay in Swiss francs. So that's why we can actually sell things with a guarantee lower than 100%, and why we can sell insurance products that are a combination between risk and investment, but the customer actually also bears part of the investment risk. So that's the shift that allows an insurance company also to offer products for the future that can be competitive with some other, for example, bank products. So it's always a matter of alternative you have.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then about the capital, I mean, as we said, the dividend is always given from the operational cash flow, and if there is too much capital or not enough capital, which is a less favorable situation, but too much capital, we are finding ways to give it back, as we did just now with the share buyback. But relating to the Standard & Poor's model, I would like to give the word to Mark, who was actually driving the process with Standard & Poor's, and he knows about the capital model.
Michael, so the reading in the S&P report is the way that the current capitalization in their framework is applicable to AAA level, which is extremely strong in their wording. And what they are saying, if we would even consider future buybacks, as we have done before, that would still lead the capitalization to be on a very strong level, which is AA, and that was their message. So it was not implying that activities had been planned. It was more the case that if we should do so, that would still give us a very comfortable capital position, which would still be attributable to AA, i.e. very strong level.
I understand. So it's more... if it's not so bad, rather than a kind of promise or forecast. Okay, no, I understand. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Farquhar Murray from Autonomous. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Just a quick point of detail. In the kind of report, you mentioned a non-recurring item in Baloise Bank Sober, I think related to the pension side. I presume it's kind of a positive one-off. Might you just be able to give us the magnitude of that in kind of pre-tax terms? Thanks.
Yes, thank you. I will answer that. It was a one-time effect because we have lowered actually the proceeds of the pension plan to the insured, and that lowered the obligation for the employer, and the magnitude was 10 million Swiss francs.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. 1 million?
10 million. 10 million.
Okay, thanks very much indeed.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. Ralph Hepken. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question again. I apologize. It's going to become painful, but I'm going to go back to the combined ratio in P&C. But I think a shortcut to my question really is, German, did you just reduce or therefore improve the guidance or the targets which you gave for the future? I think in the past, of course, you said that the target, at least for 2016, was a range of 93% to 96%. Clearly, you will end up below that. But then also you said that the combined ratio will be sustainable in a region of around 90% in future. I just want to check whether I heard that right, because I still think that, as Peter was saying, I mean, something has to give in these numbers. And if I just work backwards, 90% minus, let's say, 31% expense ratio or thereabouts, reverse back in the midpoint of the range of the reserve releases, which you said are going to run in the region of 2 to 3 percentage points, then you either have to assume that you're going to make less large losses or that your underlying loss ratio is going to be sustainably better than the 60% level we've seen in the past. So that's question number one.
My intention was, of course, not to make sophisticated calculations about the new targets of the combined ratio for the next 50 years. It was just the target stays where it is. It's 93 to 96. That was more like a quickly calculated outlook that if the prior year loss experience loss ratio is 2 to 3%, then we would end up in the low 90s. That's the only thing I did.
Okay, that's great. That confirms that. Thank you very much. And question number two, I'm sorry, that really is also a point of detail. It just relates to the following. If I look at the combined ratios presented and analyzed on the slide, I get to I see the combined ratio of 92.5%. And if I apply that to net premiums earned, I get an underwriting result of 110 million pre-tax. But that's actually not the underwriting result which you disclose. The disclosed underwriting result in the P&C segment is 90 million. So that's 20 million less. And I wonder where the difference comes from. I notice this difference is sort of there almost like every interim, but it's normally negligible. And in this interim, it wasn't. I'll just be interested in the reason for that.
Well, the reason for this is that not everything is included in the combined ratio. For example, the prior year losses for annuities, which are legally managed, let's say, they are not included in the combined ratio, or certain costs are not included in combined ratio, or premium taxes are not included in combined ratio. So there are certain differences. But if you would like to have it exactly, then I think we shall come back to go back to IR, and they have the details of the figures.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. Stefan Schürmann. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just two small follow-up questions. The first one on the investment side. I mean, you had another 60 million impairment on the equity side. You had a 70 last year. I mean, is that just a normal follow-up, or do you have taken measures there, or is that the normal flow of business? And the second one, just to remind us on the investors' day, what we can expect, what you're going to present to us, please.
Okay, I didn't get the second question. Maybe Gert will take over. For the first question, you know that the markets in the first half were very turbulently, I would say. They started with some volatility, were calmer then, and were volatile at the end. And, of course, we are hedging our equity position, but you always have one or two single stocks that could have some effect. And if you look at the list, at the stock exchange list this year, you will find out that some financials in Switzerland had a hard time.
That, So nothing to be worried about then?
No, that's just a single event.
Maybe on the investor day, of course, it's hard to describe, I would say, the detailed agenda. We won't want to disclose all of that right now. But I think what is clearly the intention is to explain the new strategic direction we are taking, and you could actually drill them down to a couple of points. One, we absolutely want to become even better in what we are good at the last 10 to 15 years, and the half-year results show that again. That's target customer management, that's operational excellence and so forth. That's one element. The second element is that in the new strategy, we absolutely want to structurally simplify the way we do business. So from a product point of view, process point of view, interaction point of view, communication point of view, that's point two. The third point is that we absolutely are convinced that there is growth available in additional services that go beyond insurance. So that's a third element. And the fourth element, I would say, is that we are shaping our culture, fine-tuning our culture to be really an entrepreneurial company with a full and relentless focus on our customers. So I think those are the main headlines that, of course, will be illustrated with the projects we're doing, with the initiatives we're undertaking. But that the Investor Day is about our longer-term 5 to 7 year strategy.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Gentlemen, that was the last question.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the open discussion and the interaction. Let me just wrap it up by reiterating that we're extremely satisfied with the half-year results. Again, a proof of our very solid underlying profit generation company that we are. And secondly, that we are preparing for the future and have strengthened actually also in this first half-year our future. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.